This evening's scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 44 through 47. And if there's someone who'd like to follow in one of the Bibles provided underneath your bench, you can find that scripture on page 967. And again, that's Acts 2, 44 through 47. And the scripture reads, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need, so continuing daily and with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved."
The church was having favor with all the people. Aren't y'all trying to not get our drinks mixed up? You know, I'm colorblind sometimes. But isn't that a beautiful thought, an image in our mind, to know that the church had favor with everyone? Last Sunday evening, or the Sunday before, I believe it was, we were discussing hitting the target. And the target in particular, specifically, is an attendance target. There is, to my left, your right, an attendance goal of 200. You remember the last time we were together and we were considering this particular topic or this particular subject, we were considering how we were going to do that. Spent an entire lesson, the first lesson, talking about how we can grow, how we should grow, and we must grow in a manner that reveres, respects, and honors God's Word. Folks, there is no doubt in my mind that we could do things apart from, separate from, the Word of God that could bring about a growth within this church. Just the other day, the boys had witnessed one of the churches. Our local congregations in the neighborhood was packed. There was a big sign that said, "Bazaar." And I said, "Well, what's going on over there?" I said, "Oh, they're trying to get money. You wouldn't believe the information that comes in the mail on a weekly basis. Where there are companies and organizations that think that we're just like everybody else in the world with regards to how we grow and we gain support financially, and it just breaks your heart. We could grow, but we could grow in a fashion that doesn't honor God. It is not respectful of God's Word and His authority. That's not the growth we're looking for. We're looking for true, honest-to-goodness, scriptural church growth. The way God designed it, the way God planned it." So you remember the last time we were together and we were considering hitting our target. We spent a great deal discussing how we are to honor and obey God's Word, John chapter 12, verse 48. It is Jesus' words that will judge us in the last day. Let's be faithful to that word each and every day of our lives. Tonight, I want us to move on and spend some time talking about other ways in which we can grow. Brethren, I would recommend and certainly advise us to be people who are equipped to grow. Now, I mean that in a couple of ways. First of all, personal knowledge of God's Word. Equipping ourselves. We must be equipped with God's Word. Know what God's Word says. That's only right. One of the saddest passages, perhaps, in the Bible, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, when God declares, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." We're not talking about pagans. We're not talking about people of the world. We're talking about God's people, that God has made an indictment. Brought an indictment against His own people. "You are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." There in Psalm 119. There are some beautiful passages there. But I think about there in Psalm 119 as the author there discusses his deep-seated love for God's Word. In verse 9, he says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your commandments." What a noble heart. God, I'm in love with your word. I understand that I am sanctified by it. I am cleansed by it. Anything, everything that's good comes from it. Teach me the word. Peter would go on to remember in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Peter would tell us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts so that you'll know how to answer one another. You'll know how to give a defense of the hope that is within you. When someone sees you, your life, the light of your life, they've got a question. He says, know the answer to it. So when we're talking about being equipped personally, we need to know the Word. Brethren, we can't quote it if we don't know it. We need to know the Word. But two, let me suggest to you, with regards to being equipped, have the right resources that will promote growth. One of the things I think you will notice when you walk in to the foyer out there, you walk through the entrance of our doors, and you look around and you see all these little Bible tracts. They appeal to the eye. And there's a lot of good material there. A lot of good. I've preached from some of that stuff. Great, great information. We're blessed to have the things that we have at this particular congregation. CDs on how to become a Christian and obeying the truth. The Gospel Minutes. Lloyd, I know, spearheads the Spiritual Sword. Great magazine. I know Brian Smith and Archie worked together on that house-to-house, heart-to-heart. You see, these are resources. We have, did you know that we have a phenomenal library downstairs? We do. Brethren, that is a blessing. That is a true blessing. If you don't think so, ask some of our teachers, both male and female, who teaches here at Central Avenue, if they've ever tapped into any of those books in that library. I guarantee you they'll tell you they have. Ask the preacher if he has. I guarantee you he has. It's a great resource to have. Brethren, we have a nice building. It's comfortable here. It's well lit. We have a large auditorium here. We have a fellowship hall and a kitchen. And it serves our needs. It suits our purposes. We have an entire basement If Brother Ray Pugh were here, he could give you every dimension of this building, I guarantee you. Because he has me. On numerous occasions. But brethren, it's a blessing. It is a blessing to have this place. It is a blessing. Your elders have secured and acquired property. Some of you that maybe have only been here for 4 or 5 years, maybe you didn't know that there used to be a house actually right over here in this part of the parking lot. And whenever that gentleman had passed away and we realized we had an opportunity to purchase that, our elders did not drag their feet. They said, we'll take it. And we purchased it and we expanded. Sold the house and dragged. Oh, that was this house right here that we let the fire department play in it, remember? Yeah. Oh, the other house you're talking about, you know, I wasn't here too long. I was getting my hair cut up at 5 points. And that old gentleman in there that cut my hair for $2, I thought he was joking. When I asked him, how much is it for a haircut? He said, $2. I said, no, really. He said, $2, unless you want to pay more. I said, no. And then we get to talk, and he says, well, what do you do for a living? I'm a minister down at Central Avenue, Church of Christ. He said, oh, you are. Oh, I remember when they bought a house up through Maple Avenue. And that's exactly what Don's talking about right there. You know, I've never seen a house make its way up through Maple Avenue before. But he said, I'll never forget that day. So, brethren, I'm here to tell you that what we have right here is ready for growth. We have the resources available. We even have, I've even heard the terminology, an overflow area out there where the big screen TV is. Okay? I know that some of the sports fans thought it was for football, you know, during the preacher's halftime sermon, but it's not. You know, it's an overflow. So we've got an eye for the future, towards the future. But the things I've just discussed, those are just things. You see, folks, we can have the nicest things in the world, but if we're not the people that God has called us to be, behaving the way that God has called us to behave, doing what God expects us to do, we're not going to ever grow. We're not ever going to grow. With that being said, I know that there's a lot of things that have been implemented. And that leads to this next point. Be the Lord's church for everyone. I don't think I'm going to get much pushback on this statement, but, you know, Jesus was a man who loved everyone and he met every man's needs. A church, since Jesus was a man who met everyone's needs, would it mean that the church should be meeting needs just like Jesus? Wouldn't it stand to reason that the church be the church for everyone? Follow what I'm saying here. When I think about the church, and I'm not going to use the word program. And it's not wrong to use that. We have various programs. But I don't want us to look at them as programs. We need to look at them as ministries. You see. Ministries is things that we do where we're involved in serving. Okay? Yeah, programs to serve, but a ministry has peace to it. Where we're serving with a purpose. We have various ministries here. I think about some of those things. Maybe you're here for the first time. You had an opportunity to look at the back where the fellowship area is back there. And you're like, what in the world? They've got all these clothes hanging up back here, and coats and what have you. I thought they had a coat rack out here. You know, our benevolence program is a wonderful thing. Mike Wilson is our deacon in charge of that. Mike does a tremendous job with that. He loves the Lord, and he has a compassionate heart for people in need. I know that for a fact. But we have a benevolence program that's designed to meet needs. We have various other programs. We have Tuesdays. It's always neat when the ladies start coming in and they have their Bible study. It's my understanding, I'm going to tell on her, I don't fear tonight, that our dear sister Amanda Pugh taught her first lesson this past Tuesday, and I heard she did a tremendous job. And when I heard that, man, I was just tickled as I could be. That's growth. That's growth. It's so good to see these, what I saw one time, and many of you have seen them when they were babies, you know, just to grow up and blossom in the Lord. That's so neat to see. We have every other Monday night, Benson Lloyd, you know, head up a Bible study here on Monday evening. You know, I appreciate that. I appreciate that when I'm able to. I'm a part of that and attend that. They have food first. It's got to be scriptural. So we got to have food first. And they have food first and then engage in a caring and sharing time and studying God's Word. That's great, brother. I know that Thursday, they call it the play group. That's not a drama group. Don't get worried. We have our young families who come in here with their little ones and their little toddlers, and they come and they play and they just fellowship. They eat. They do it scripturally. Yeah. They eat too, and you know, but they have a great time. And it is so neat to watch the children come in here with their families and the love and the fellowship that they have is just beautiful to behold. Brother Ira North once said, who used to preach in Madison, Tennessee, he said the church building ought to be the busiest building in a city. Ought to be the busiest building in a town. Because that shows life. It shows life. Lots are going on. Speaking of that family, I know the Millers and Bells, and I know that the Smiths as well, they are responsible for having their own Bible studies out at their home, and they invite all to come and be a part of that. That's love. That's great. Love to see that. Love that. I know for a fact, in the various ministries that I've just mentioned, that there have been people who have come to this congregation. If we would not have had those ministries, they would probably not be here today or be involved in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm sure of it. I'm not going to name any names, but I'm sure of it. We have obviously, Don had prayed for him in his prayer. You know, our youth. Man, we have a lot of babies. And that's a great thing. That is a great thing. We have a lot of children in the preschool, primary age group right there, little toddlers. And I know that Josh and Kate are doing an excellent job with the puppets downstairs. And I'm hearing great things, Josh and Kate, with that. And that's wonderful. Our teenagers, you know, we've got some teens. Want more at the tough, they're at the tough age. They're trying to find themselves, you know. And, you know, trying to figure out who they are and what they are and what the world is all about and what have you. But they're worth investing in. They're worth investing in, obviously. And that's a group there that we love, and we try to get them plugged in, get them involved. Brian just got back from a youth rally in Richmond, Kentucky. a couple weeks ago, and they had a tremendous time. But folks, there are things that are going on here. The daughters of Sarah is another one. I'm not a part of that program, but I've heard great things about that. Really good things about that. And that is so special that we've got women. It's basically a fellowship mentoring program is what it is. And our ladies are learning a lot about the Lord, a lot about one another, and they're growing as a result of that. Our care groups. Then we have care groups here. These care groups we need to take very seriously. And it's divided into a few groups here at the church. And if you're involved in a care group, and it is designed for you to, even though you realize in some larger congregations it's easy to get lost in the crowd, the big crowd, the care groups just kind of cut it down to size to where, oh, okay, here's a sample of the whole church, and you can get to know folks that way, and then you're not in that care group forever. You jump around. That's a reason. There's a reason for that. There's a strategy there. But we have care groups. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I realize that, but sometimes we fail to see. Vince, you had me to not long ago list a bunch of things that's going on here. I sent you a very lengthy email, didn't I? You said, wow, there's a lot this church is involved in. There's a lot of things that's going on. Is there more that we could do? Are there areas that we can improve upon? Absolutely. But the point is this, folks. When a person shows up at our front door and they're looking for a church to attend, what are we offering them? What are we offering them? Do we have ministries in place that appeal to them, that meet their needs so they will stick and stay? You know, an analogy that I have used before, I want you to imagine this. We have a newer car. It's a 2011 Toyota Camry. And we didn't know this, Lloyd, when we bought it. After we bought it, we learned this. That's usually the way it goes, right? After the fact. So the first time I took that vehicle to Grismer to get an oil change, they said, oh, we can't put the standard oil in this. We have to put the high dollar stuff, the synthetic oil in this. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's what we got to put in. But I want you to imagine this. So that car requires synthetic oil, RG. So there's a local yokel mechanic in town, and he knows how to change oil. And I take my car to him, and I say, now look, this car, it can only take synthetic oil. Oh, sir, I only do standard oil changes. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull right out of that parking lot. I'm going to drive away, and I'll probably never come back. I'll never come back. You following the point? Is that the Lord's church needs to be a church for everyone. The bottom line is this. If we're not behaving like the people God has called us to behave, and we're not doing the things that we need to be doing to keep folks coming, we have demoted ourselves from being everyone's church to being some folks' church. There was a book I read a few years back. And this gentleman, he's not a member of the church. He's a church growth consultant. His name is Gary L. McIntosh. The book made a big impact on me, I got to tell you. And I'm not going to stand up here and read pages to you. I just want you to see it. But you'll notice as you read it that he's not a member of the church. But his ideas and his principles are very sound. He opens up the book, first chapter, with basically like this. Someone's coming over. You got company coming. Now, gentlemen, if your wife is like my wife, I mean, it's just clean this house, you know, and you're just picking up everything, sweeping everything, you know, and you're doing the best you can to make it spick and span. And if she dare finds out you had anybody over and it was dirty, it's the unforgivable sin. You know, I can't believe you had him over here and this house looked like this. The McIntosh takes that approach to the church. That's his approach. He says, you know what, we'll work hard to do the best we can to make sure we're giving our best appearance to our guests. And oh, by the way, the word guest, that's what he calls visitors. He says, you know, whenever you refer to someone as a visitor, you expect them to visit and leave. He said a guest is someone that you expect to stay. He says, these are our guests. And there's several things that he goes through with regards to keeping our guests coming. I very quickly just want to show you. He says there's a thing called a moment of truth. A moment of truth is whenever a person comes to your church and they realize whether or not that's for them. And for example, experiencing ministries and services. The ministries or amenities explored will obviously vary from guest to guest. Those with small children want to find a child care area that is clean, bright, open, and safe. Those needing to use the restrooms hope to find them clean and free of unpleasant odors. Those attending a class expect comfortable and nicely decorated classrooms staffed with gracious people. Now, I know one of the dangers that the risk that we run here, because he addresses this early on in this book. You see, the danger is this. As a member of the church, we look at things from the inside out. And the way a visitor or a guest is looking at your church is from the outside in. Outside in. That's the way they're looking at it. So when he talks about we need to look at the church, and perhaps you've heard me use that sentence before, that statement before, looking at the church through the eyes of a visitor, you've heard me say that before. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. How do they perceive this church? He goes on and he says, entering the sanctuary, guests entering the worship area wish to find smiling ushers who have a servant-like attitude. They expect to be welcomed graciously and treated with respect and to find room to sit without being crowded. He shared one experience whenever he was attending a congregation, and a friend had asked him to attend, and he agreed to it. He walks into the foyer and he meets his friend, and there's the talking, and all of a sudden another member of that church comes up, and his friend introduces him, says, this is my friend Gary, and I'm, you know, he's here in our community. And the gentleman says, oh, I'm so-and-so, and he smiles, and then he launches into a conversation with this guy's friend, and just as if he didn't even exist, he just thought, yoo-hoo, I'm over here. I'm right here. There are questions that the guest asks of himself when they come to a church. He says, a few weeks ago, I was consulting with a church in Northern California. During the worship services, I quietly slipped out. I walked through the parking lot. While observing the parking situation, two people would enter the lot, and they drove around looking for a parking place. When they couldn't find a space in which they could park, they left, and they never came back. Now, I know we've got three spots out here that take care of that. We've got three spots out here, and it works well. And I appreciate our elders for having the vision and the love and the foresight to do that. How many churches do you go to, though, where there are parking spots for visitors? Think about it. One particular congregation for 2 years has been a church consultant and helping this church grow in observing 198 people, visitors or guests, walk through the door. In 2 years, he said three saved. Three. Brethren, the challenge for us, the challenge for us is to take into consideration the views and the opinions that others have about us. And I'm not suggesting, oh, you're changing things around. We're going to be dragging a piano in here now. No, that's not what we're talking about at all. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about being everyone's church. Being a church for everyone. We don't ever want to be in a situation where someone comes here and they're genuinely, truly looking for a relationship with the Lord, with the Lord, and we say, we're sorry, we just don't offer that. We need to be implementing and trying to think of ways that we can work in a place for everyone in this church. One final area that I want to discuss with you is this. Let's keep what we have. Let's have an environment that not only promotes growth, but it sustains growth. It sustains growth. No one should ever leave this congregation feeling unwanted, unloved, uncared for. And how do we prevent that from happening? Actively being involved in caring and sharing for one another. The passage that was just read for us during our scripture reading. Oh, brethren, the church was involved in one another's lives tremendously, immensely, in every aspect. It is vital that we're tuned into one another's lives. And that we are encouraging and we are strengthening one another. This is a job not just for someone, but it is a job for everyone. Now, what about the poor soul that, and this goes along with keep what we have, what about the poor soul that falls through the cracks? You know me. We have a zero tolerance for folks falling through the cracks. Zero tolerance. No one should be neglected. No one should be overlooked. The first century church had a couple of answers for that. You remember when the Grecian widows, they were complaining? They appointed deacons. Diakonos is the Greek word. And certainly another way they addressed that issue was they were involved in one another's lives and caring for and sharing, as we saw in our scripture reading. However, I can say with all the love in my heart, folks, some folks fall through the cracks because they're not looking for a job. They're not looking for a job. They have not invested in this church. Now listen to what I'm saying. We don't want anyone to fall through the cracks. But I believe with all my heart that every person in this church should have a job. Some way, shape, form, or fashion. Encouraging, strengthening, and building one another up. I believe that. And for the person who unfortunately falls through the cracks, they fall off the radar when you don't make yourself available, you're not involved in the work of the church, you kind of become invisible, you disappear. Now, I'm saying this to encourage folks to be involved in working in this church. Invest in it. Here the Apostle Paul said, and I believe it's scriptural, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, when every part does its part, it brings about, guess what? Growth. When every part does its part, it brings about growth. If I told you, tonight's the night that you need to lose your little itty-bitty toe on your left foot, do I have any volunteers? Of course not. But how often do you think about your little itty-bitty toe on your left foot? Well, I'll tell you what, you take it away, you'll think about it. But you won't think about the little itty-bitty toe if it isn't doing its job. It has a function, it has a job to do in the body, for the body. Brother, I'm just trying to encourage you to work. I'm too old. You need to take that up with God, because He called on some pretty old people to go work for Him. Try Abraham. As we wrap this up, I want you to know that it's not my goal to offend or attack anyone from the pulpit. This lesson is designed to help us see who and what we are, and also to challenge us, brethren, to do better. Are we doing great things? Absolutely. Can we do better? I think we can. I think we can. That's why that game night that occurred last night was a good thing. Had a good time, didn't we? It was funny to have Josh explain to me the game we were playing. Apples? I don't know, Josh. Huh? Apples to apples. Yeah, it helps you learn things about people. Some things you don't want to know about people. It helps you realize these things. And I think after I was done playing with their group, I was done with, they were happy I was gone. There's some things I didn't want to know about him. But you know, it was a good time. It was a good time, brother. You see, that's the kind of stuff that we need to be involved in. We need to be involved in. I got to tell you, from a personal perspective here, there's a lot of time I beat myself up because I know that there are members that I've missed and I haven't been able to get out and see them. Haven't been able really to spend any time with them. And I take it personal. I beat myself up over that. I wish I could. I wish I had the time. I've got an obligation to my family. A preacher has a family? I've got an obligation to my family. I've got certainly personal things that go on in my life. And what I'm trying to tell you is this: not one, not two, not three, not four, five men, six, seven men could handle all the things that we handle in this church as far as building it up and encouraging it. Brethren, it takes each and every person here involved in the Word. And that's my encouragement to you. If you don't have a job, I know of four men who would love to listen to your ideas, pray with you, encourage you. Everything that would promote growth in this church is right here already. We've got the thing. We just got to be the people God has called us to be. I want to encourage you tonight, if you've not obeyed the gospel, that you do this. If you come forward, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Become a Christian tonight. Grow spiritually. Come and grow with us, numerically. I want to encourage you tonight, if you are a child of God and you're struggling with something, there's sin in your life, you need to repent of it. You need to turn to the Lord. You need the prayers of this church. We stand here waiting. God is waiting. Please come forward together.